in the echo. Sounded good. Hey, dude. Hey, how you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? What'd you do? You went to your aunt's house. Did you eat a lot? Sort of.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sort of. How about you, my dear?
I ate a lot.
You ate a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet, here you are. I bet you're going to eat again today. Yeah? What comes next? What holiday comes next?
Christmas.
How long ago? How far into the future is that?
About a month.
About a month? Is this the longest month of the year?
Sometimes.
Is it?
Like it?
Does it? Yeah? How about you, Bryson? Is this the longest month of the year between now and Christmas?
No.
No? You're not giving me anything to work with today, kiddo. Crystal, do something. What do you do to prepare for Christmas?
Put up decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And get the house clean for guests.
Mm-hmm. That was for you, Mom. Anything else?
And we go out shopping for presents mm-hmm. for other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. All right, let's try this again. What about you, Bryson? What do you do for Christmas? Getting ready for Christmas?
Put up decorations.
Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of time
put up
to
the tree.
Put up the tree, right. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So there's a lot to do between now and right? Okay, so just so you know, my house needs cleaning too before friends come over. Can you come over and handle that? Will you come do that for me? No? Oh, that was exhausting. This is a weird Sunday, isn't it? Do you know what I mean by weird? Because a lot of times, this is usually the first Sunday of Advent, okay? And so for someone like me who has, you know, just a bunch of sermons that I can just whip out, I have to actually plan for this one. That's all you got? But it is weird because I don't know about you, but I come off Thanksgiving and I've been pre-programmed now to think Advent. Anybody else? Okay, and so as we enter the season of Advent, we kind of sit in that place of waiting, right? Isn't that what we're talking about, waiting? And you'll notice the title of the sermon says, are we waiting, are we preparing, or are we just killing time? I'm pretty good at wasting time. Anybody else? You see, all those of you who didn't put your hands up, yeah, I'm coming to your house. Do you ever walk around your house thinking, I have an hour? But the thing that I want to do is going to take an hour and 15. So because it takes an hour and 15, I don't want to start anything else. And I don't want to start that because I'm not going to be able to finish it because I have to leave. But I've already wasted 10 minutes having that conversation. So I'm going to walk into another room and start to think about something else. And I'm just going to walk around thinking of all the things I could have been doing with the time that I'm wasting until I finally say, oh, I got to go. There you go. So that's sort of killing time, wasting time until you're moving into the next thing. And I don't know about you all, but when I was a kid, I felt like the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas was about killing time, right? Like, you know, as we get older, they say time flies. And when you're younger, it's interminable between this period of time. It's always with the math, right, Nancy? But what do you do, actually, to prepare? What do you do to prepare between now and Christmas? I all know you wait. You wait to shop, or you already went shopping, right? You wait to hear from who's coming over, who's not, or what your plans are going to be, all right? And you might even kill time wondering, when is this sermon going to be over, right? That was for you. But what do we actually do to prepare? Today's reading is about 500 years before Jesus is born, and the idea is go out and prepare. And what's interesting is when we hear a voice cries out, we have heard it so many times, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. The actual original is a voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare a path for the Lord. That's the original from Isaiah. And then the writers of the gospel mess it up, and that's what we go with, right? But what does it actually mean that we prepare? What do you do? What do you do to prepare? The kids answered, so I know you can answer. What do you do to prepare?
Clean the house.
Clean the house. You know what? They already answered. You cheated.
Bake.
Bake. Okay. What else? Put up your nativity sets. Decorate. What else? Cook. Send cards. What else?
Go to church.
That was, you're getting closer. Nice, Christy. Way to put that God thing in there. That was really good. Go to church. What else? Did you see how some people were preparing? Like preparing for Black Friday? Right? Did you know, by the way, that there is a group, kind of like Uber, that you can call, and it's called Wait For You, and what they'll do is they'll go and stand in line for you at these places until it's your time to go in or until the store's open, that you can pay someone to wait for you. I came across five separate stories about what happened on Black Forest as far as people running each other over, fights, stabbings, shootings, people dying on Good Friday. Hey, Freud just had fun with that one. On Black Friday, because they're preparing for Christmas.
Thank God.
Right? Preparing for Christmas. The four Gospels, the four authors, all quote Isaiah, have John the Baptist quoting Isaiah saying, prepare the way for the Lord, in the wilderness or not, do it. Make straight a path, not that kind of straight, make straight the path so that God can find God's way to you. Now, the metaphor is beautiful. Right? And as Deborah was saying, when we read this in Isaiah, it really is about giving hope. Clear a way. God is coming. Clear a way. God is going to get back to you. Which is ironic, because really, when we think about it, shouldn't we be getting back to God? But it is beholden on us to make sure that we clear a path. I didn't hear any of you talking about path clearing as part of your preparation for Christmas. Wow, soon to be Reverend Crystal.
She's not
lying. I know. Okay, let's stay with the metaphor. Focus. It's cleaning. But what does it mean? What does it mean that in these times when Jesus was coming, when we're reading about the birth narratives and preparing for the birth of Jesus, what does it mean? Now, let me remind you, depending on which gospel you're reading, only two have birth narratives. But depending on the timeline, we're talking about a time of immense turmoil in first century Palestine. We're talking about Roman occupation, persecution. The temple's been destroyed. People are all over the place and terrified of the oppressors. And so they are being told, prepare the way of the Lord. And if you listen to what John the Baptist is saying, he throws in the word repent. And if you remember, and I know you do, repent means turn around. Turn around. Come back. So John is throwing that out. And he is telling people, prepare, prepare, prepare. Now I'm asking you, what in the world is he talking about? Non-rhetorical. Go ahead, Dana.
What I was going to say earlier is not just things, but having a plan, making a schedule, because if you don't schedule things in, they often don't get done.
So you think John the Baptist was telling the people who were waiting for Jesus that they should schedule so they can fit him in? I gotcha. I'm just busting your chops, but not really.
I think he was just saying, come back to me. Come back to me.
But how?
But this way.
But how do you prepare? How do you do it? How do you get ready?
Spiritually, you, in your own way.
And repent. Turn away from.
Way. But he's saying repent, but then he's saying come back.
Okay.
So, you know, all those people that have gone and have wandered away from him, he's saying, come back to me. Come back this way.
Do you think he's just talking about the people who show up for church on Christmas?
No.
No, okay.
He's talking about everybody.
Everybody, okay. Cayenne? Okay. Anybody else? Huh. So, I was really conscious of the kind of things that people might be waiting for these days that sort of parallel what those who are waiting for Jesus might be experiencing. And I kept coming back to the border. I kept coming back to the fact that there have been thousands of people, migrants, coming up through the South American and Central American countries who are waiting, that are coming through, clearing a path, trying to get somewhere where they might find safety and security and a place where they can take care of their children. And then they get to the wall or the fence, that beautiful concertina wire that is now being put on the fence, and they are waiting to see what happens next as they ask for asylum, because going back home means they go back to oppression and they go back to violence. So they're waiting. And then I was thinking about the children, the 14,000 children who are still incarcerated, and I will use that word, in various centers around the country, who are waiting to see what happens next, who have no access to a legal voice or can even get in touch with their families. And I'm wondering what that waiting is like, and can they even think about preparing because they are waiting for some sort of liberation? And then I was thinking about our troops who have been plopped down there on the border to fortify it against all of these folks who are coming up and who have been given the go-ahead to shoot if necessary. And I'm wondering what that waiting is like for them. Intense boredom, but also, wow, am I going to have to confront folks who I don't identify as my enemy? And how do I do that? And so waiting takes on a whole other different frame when we put it in the context of what it must have been like, both for the Israelites in exile and for those who were waiting for Jesus, who were actually waiting for the Messiah. Waiting is so much heavier then, right? Prepare away in the wilderness. Go out and make clear. Build the road. And what that means is dig up all the crud that's underneath it, the crud that you don't want to look at, the stuff that's dirty, the stuff that's smelly, the stuff that is barricading the way for anybody to come and go. And we sort of sit in the position of the in-between, don't we? We are in the position of both waiting for Jesus to come and preparing the road for him to get here. If we are truly his followers, then what we are looking at is preparing the road for anyone who comes seeking liberation. How do we prepare the road for the God that exists and dwells in each and every one of us? How do we prepare this season of clearing all of the minutiae out of the way so that we can actually see that the people who are coming to us are the personification of the divine. How do we prepare a place in the wilderness so that our hearts are open to all of those who are seeking liberation? How do we prepare for those kind of things during the season that's upon us? You have one more week to think about it. I want to read something that I found today, or this week, I should say, from Reverend Irene Moore, Monroe, rather. And she describes the wilderness as this. The wilderness should not be seen as a permanent place in which one resides or in which one falls into and gets stuck, but rather as a place of transition and growth where radical transformation can take place. It should be used as an interpretive lens to look at the reality from an involved, committed stance in light of a faith that is committed to do justice. The wilderness is where you see the face of the damned, the dispossessed, the disinherited, and the disrespected, and you know that this is your starting place. And for those in the wilderness, it's a place where liberation begins. The wilderness gives you the agency to effect change on your own behalf. It offers an oppositional gaze from which you can honestly critique the oppressive structures in society that keep us separated from who and what we are as the body of Christ. Advent invites us into a journey into this wilderness. It does not invite us into the wilderness to put us on a road without signposts or a roadmap. Instead, Advent invites us to a journey into the wilderness as a shared experience of struggle, discovery, enlightenment, community, and liberation. It is only in the shared wilderness experience that the voice of one crying out in the wilderness becomes many and is heard. Let the people say, Amen.